Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world, even though there may be toxic chemicals in our consumer products, around in the environment, and in the news every day, and even other dangers such as electromagnetic fields, which we're going to be talking about today. There are things that each one of us can do to live a less toxic life and flourish and prosper and be happy and productive and everything that we want to be without being affected by toxic chemicals or other dangers. We can remove them from our homes and our bodies and feel a lot better. That's the whole point of this show. Today is Monday, May 27th, 2013. It's Memorial Day, and I just want to talk for a minute about Memorial Day, which was started after the Civil War, and it was to honor, and still is, to honor and remember those men and women who defended our country in our armed forces. I myself am descended from patriots who fought in the Revolutionary War. And while I'm not an official member of the Daughters of the American Revolution, my grandmother was, and my great aunt was, both were members, and traced our genealogy back to 9 ancestors who fought for freedom in our country. And so I very much am aware of the necessity sometimes. Well, I very much think that we can live without war. That would be fine with me. I think there are times when we need to stand up for freedom. And I am very appreciative of those men and women in the past who have stood up for the freedom in our country so that we have freedoms today to make choices, like choices to not use toxic chemicals. So today we're going to talk about electromagnetic fields and electrosensitivity and smart meters. And my guest actually is from Canada. His name is André Fateau, and he's the editor and publisher of La Maison du, 21st Century in French. No, I'll just, the English name of the magazine is 21st Century Housing. He's based in Quebec. And the magazine is about healthy and sustainable housing. Welcome, André. I'm so pleased to have you on.
Hi, Deborah. Thanks for your interest. Glad to be here.
Good. So tell us how you became interested in the field of toxic chemicals, health, electromagnetic fields, and led you to make a whole regular magazine. And I should also say that André sends me new articles about electromagnetic sensitivity and electromagnetic fields and what's going on around the world, multiple articles every week. And of everybody I know, he knows more about this subject than anyone, so I'm very, very interested in what he has to say today. But tell us your story first, André.
Yes, I began in my 20s when I had serious backaches, and I was a reporter for the Montreal Gazette Daily. And I wrote a story on a little girl who had leukemia and passed away. So I was really moved by that and wondering what causes leukemia. So I started to speak to different doctors. I spoke to a dermatologist who was fighting herbicide applications on lawns, Dr. June Irwin. And she told me that many cancers were linked to herbicide use. 2,4-D was linked directly to leukemia and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And so I began, actually after my internship at the Gazette, writing for a housing newspaper for 5 years, and I developed a specialty, a beat in healthy and sustainable housing, and speaking to a lot of architects and engineers, but also chemists, toxicologists, and physicians. I became a specialist since 1990. I've been focusing on all the home pollutants. And I did link it also myself, my own backaches, and a moderate level also of food sensitivities. I linked them to the fact that I did a lot of painting as a teenager, with a roller over my head, mm-hmm. and I was just in my mm-hmm. shorts. And all kid paint, would be falling a whole little cloud all over my body. So I had to wash my body a few times with Varsol. saw a couple of years later when I began writing a lot about multiple chemical sensitivities. Doctors told me for sure that was not very good for your health.
Well, I had a similar experience where before I knew anything about chemical sensitivities or being poisoned by toxic chemicals, I was very interested in interior design. Yeah. And so whenever I had the opportunity, I was always doing things like painting. But one day I had a new boyfriend and he had a renovated house in Berkeley, California, a beautiful old house where the bathroom had been just kind of not well constructed and didn't have any tile, and the shower was painted concrete. And every time I would take a shower in this little tiny cubicle, I would get paint chips all over my body because the paint was peeling. And so one day I said, I'm just going to take all these layers and layers of paint off. And really, it was not bigger than 3 by 3 feet. And
but you didn't know it was lead paint.
Well, I didn't know it was lead paint, but here's the even worse. I took the most toxic paint stripper. I think it was called Thompson's or something like that. And I applied it all over this little space. And then I took a single blade razor blade, and I stood there for hours scraping that paint off the walls, breathing in all the fumes, and my naked body absorbing them.
Yeah.
That was not the smartest thing I ever did. But, you know, I didn't know. I didn't know. And I'm sure that people still do things like that all the time.
Of course.
That's so go on why, with your story.
Well, that's why I've been writing for 20 years about, you know, prevention and solutions, because people don't know.
That's right. Yeah. That's why I do it, too.
And you know what I learned also is that it could be chemicals, it could be mold or electric shocks, all sorts of shocks to your nervous system that make you chemically and even electromagnetically sensitive. It's happened with mold and people getting shocks and telephone, how do you say, the receptionist with an earpiece, you know, they get a shock in their ear.
Oh,
I got
a
lady writing to me today that she got a lightning bolt straight in her ear.
Wow.
And became electrosensitive because of that.
Wow.
And the issue has interested me for many years because it turns out that in Quebec, we have the highest levels, among the highest in the world, levels of exposure to 60 hertz magnetic fields. Those are the current, the fields caused by domestic electricity, you know, in your household wiring and in power lines. And the current is when you turn on an appliance, you get a magnetic field when a current is circulating. And in Quebec, 70% of our homes are heated with electricity. So we have very, very high magnetic field levels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it turns out I did investigations, and we also happen to have the highest rates of cancer for children and leukemia and brain and breast cancer over the general population. And those are all suspected to be linked to magnetic fields, electric and magnetic fields. So it's a big issue here in Quebec.
Sounds like it is. So I would like to know, could you just explain very simply, because we have 45 seconds till the break, about what are EMFs? Let's just start with that.
Well, that's it. When you turn on an appliance, you get amperage or current, and that's a magnetic field. And when you only have voltage or tension, that's an electric field. Even though your appliance is turned off, you still have electric fields. Those are also suspected to be linked to leukemia and allergies, for instance. So that's why it's good at night to, some people who are very sensitive, they shut off all the power in their bedroom, even at the main breaker. They'll cut even the electrical tension, so they won't have also electric fields, not only magnetic fields.
We'll talk more about electromagnetic fields, how they can affect your health, smart meters, and all kinds of related things with Andre Patel, editor and publisher of the 21st Century Housing Magazine. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and I have one more commercial for you. Spring is in the air. Are you sneezing and coughing? Feel relief with the comfort of an I Can Breathe silk mask that prevents pollen and dust from entering your nose and lungs. Breathe deeply without side effects. If you need to avoid perfume, air pollution, or cigarette smoke, wear an I Can Breathe honeycomb mask with activated carbon filter, which captures chemicals as well as pollen and dust. Enjoy spring and summer by visiting ICanBreathe.com. You too will shout, I can breathe. Use the code Deborah513 when you order to get a 5% discount. This code is good through June 1st, 2013. That's ICanBreathe.com, ICanBreathe.com. Okay, Andre, back to you. Now, explain what electrosensitivity is.
Well, much like chemical sensitivities, some people react to very, very low doses of electric and magnetic fields that most people don't react to. And surveys in Europe have shown, national surveys in several countries have shown, that the rate of people, percentage of people saying they're electrosensitive went from under 1% in around 1994 in Sweden to around 10% in several countries, even up to 13% in Germany, around 2004. And Scandinavia was really the region where, in 2000, it was the first region in the world where at least 50% of people used a cell phone daily. And that's where, in those countries, northern countries, where most people started saying they're electrosensitive because it's really like toxic overload. And what happens is that people will get headaches mostly, sleeping problems, digestive problems, even mood disorders, and it goes all the way down to your skin burning and having tinnitus, you know, noise, constant noise in your ear and all that.
Yeah.
So for some people, it can get very, very debilitating. And what's very, very sad is that doctors often send them to psychiatry. They say they're depressed. And we had a conference in Montreal with Professor Magda Havas from Ontario and Dr. Roy Fox from Halifax, Nova Scotia, who treats people with environmental illnesses. And they both confirmed that it's really not psychosomatic. And if the first treatment is giving them an antidepressant, it can actually make their condition worse.
I would think so. Many years ago when I first started studying EMFs, and I wouldn't call myself an expert in EMFs by any means, but it seemed to relate to being an environmental exposure, such as toxic chemicals or an environmental exposure, that make us sick. So I have learned something about it. I don't consider myself to be electrosensitive, but it is real to me that people could be electrically sensitive. The thing that was most interesting to me about it is that our bodies have electromagnetic fields as part of their natural construction, and the Earth does as well. And that the way it's designed is that our bodies are supposed to be picking up that same vibration from the Earth, and that they entrain to be the same. That our bodies are supposed to vibrate at the same vibration as the environment. But what ends up happening with all these electromagnetic devices, including just the wires in our walls, is that they vibrate at a different rate. And to me, anything that interrupts the natural connection between the environment and our bodies, or even our bodies and the cosmos, whatever, however the cosmos may be affecting us here on Earth, whatever interrupts that natural connection is not good for our health. It just logically is not good for our health, and that's the way it looks to me.
Absolutely, I agree with you. You know, we our life on Earth developed with the direct current from the universe and the Earth. and that current goes in one direction. And the synthetic electricity we produce, it goes, it changes directions or polarity 60 times per second. And if you take your 60 hertz domestic electricity, but then for radio waves and microwaves, they go in the kilohertz, the megahertz, and the gigahertz. So up to billions of times per second, it's vibrating, changing polarities, and all the wireless devices now, they pulse this, which means that it's on and off thousands of times, millions of times, or billions of times per second. Now, your cells are all electric. Our whole body is electric, and we were not trained to be compatible with this power. So it's over time, the chronic exposure daily and especially all night long, you want to really shut off power in your home and especially avoid wireless devices at night, because that's when your body needs to recover. For instance, you have a hormone called melatonin, which is a potent anti-cancer agent, and your brain starts producing it. It's a gland in your brain. It produces it beginning at 9 o'clock at night. So ideally, you should be in pitch black, pitch dark, total darkness in your bedroom starting at 9 o'clock at night and all night long. So many people wear masks because if you want to fight disease and repair your DNA breaks, which are normal during the day, we always have some damage to our DNA. But the problem is if people work at night, they have light in their eyes, or also magnetic fields have the same impact. They stop the production of melatonin. That's really worrisome. I'd like to tell you, if you have a minute, there's a French oncologist in Paris that I spoke to, and he's done wonderful research. He's got about 500 electrosensitive patients, and they did brain scans and blood tests. And what they found is that people with electrosensitivities, they have problems with blood circulation in their brain. They also have higher histamine levels, you know, like an allergic reaction, and also very high stress proteins. And we also know that electromagnetic fields will open the blood-brain barrier. That's like a filter that prevents pollutants from entering your brain. So when you're exposed to these fields, well, mercury and other pollutants can go directly in your brain and harm it. Now we know there are more and more brain tumors developing in the wireless era.
Wow. Wow, that's so interesting about how the electromagnetics actually make toxic chemicals more toxic. We'll talk more about that and smart meters and everything else about electrosensitivity with André Gatel after the break. He's the publisher of the magazine 21st Century Housing from Canada. I'm Deborah Lindad, and you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and I'm here today with my guest, André Fateau. André, would you say the name of your magazine in French?
La Maison du 21e siècle, which is indeed 21st century housing.
Thank you. I took a little French, but I still can't read it and pronounce it right. I can say bonjour, and I can order a little bit from a menu. Yeah.
Luckily, I grew up in an English neighborhood.
Yes. Okay, so we were talking about electrosensitivities and how they can make you said, what did you say again about that it opens the blood-brain barrier so that toxic chemicals can get through more easily?
Yeah, exactly. Henry Lai is a scientist who at the University of Washington who studied that, I believe, and a few scientists. And that's worrisome. As I was saying, it's a chronic exposure. It's true that if you know, some alternative health devices can help you with specific low-frequency electrical treatments, but being exposed all the time, of course, yes. Those are one of the impacts is the toxins go into the brain. I'd also like to mention heart problems, diabetes, and different, of course, neurological disorders, including multiple sclerosis. People who reduce their exposure to EMFs, they feel better. That's what Dr. Fox from Halifax was telling us this weekend, and I've been getting testimonials for 20 years now, but to that effect. So there's a lot of things that we can do to reduce our exposure.
So I'm always telling people, and I think that probably the logic goes on the same track as my work with toxics, is, you know, people start out by saying, well, what's the point of me doing anything if I'm not sick, if I'm not feeling the symptoms? And I know at first that myself, and I know other people do this, that they look for the toxic chemicals that they're physically reacting to, that they, what toxic chemical gives me a headache, for example.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are two things I can answer to that. Sometimes you're not sick, but you're just on the verge of getting sick and you don't know it, or you have symptoms that you're not relating to chemicals or to EMFs or both.
Yes,
and that's the case for many, many people with chronic pain and chronic diseases. And the electrosensitivity, as I said, every year it's going up. In the last decade, the exposure to radio frequency microwaves from wireless devices has exploded. It's millions of times higher, just the ambient exposure. If you live in a city, you're well above levels of exposure that have biological impacts. They're not necessarily making you sick, but they have the potential to make you sick, they affect the transport of calcium. They'll affect your DNA. Different things are happening in your body, and you don't know, but you're preparing cancers and other diseases. And that's well documented with thousands and thousands of studies since the 1940s, because the military are very, very aware of the effects of microwaves. They've been using them as non-lethal weapons for many, many years.
I know that you want to, I'm sitting here scribbling more and more questions the more you talk. I'm scribbling down questions to ask you. But I know that you wanted to talk about smart meters specifically. So let's talk about this next.
Well, that's it. Again, it's maybe 5 or 10% of people that we expect will get sick from them if they're pretty close to the smart meters. These are meters that emit your consumption data to the utility wirelessly using microwaves. And around the world, there's a neurosurgeon in Australia, Vinny Kurana. His website is brainsurgery.us, but he's in Australia. And he says that most complaints are from people living or spending a lot of time 10 feet or less from a smart meter, like on your bedroom wall outside, because it'll go through materials. And these are pulsing microwaves thousands of times a day, and people get the typical electrosensitivity symptoms of headaches and sleep problems and what have you. So it's not everyone that are reacting, but already thousands of people are. And what the utilities will tell you is, no, it's not dangerous because the meter emissions are thousands of times below those of a cordless phone or a cell phone or a cell tower. But there are two answers to that. One is you can choose to live far away from a cell tower. You should be at least 500 meters from one. You could choose also not to use a cordless or cell phone because you are sensitive or you don't want to become sensitive. And the other thing is that if you take the utilities, they just talk about your average daily dose with a smart meter. That's not what's harming people. It's the thousands of pulses, which just last a fraction of a second, which your body just is not adapting to. Those thousands, often it's at least once or twice per minute, you get these peak power emissions that are making people sick. So more and more people are realizing they just don't want one of these meters. And utilities and governments are imposing them. Sometimes people have obtain the right to opt out, but you have to pay. Here in Quebec, they're asking people to pay $17 per month to opt out and have a non-emitting meter. That means they're like taxing you to be healthy, you know, to protect your health. For the rest of your life, you're going to pay $17 a month for the rest of your life to be healthy. So I'm pretty confident it's going to go to court or a human rights tribunal, because those are really unfair taxes.
It is unfair taxes, but also we shouldn't have like the average world be toxic or dangerous and then have to pay extra money to not have that. That there should be an ethic that says, what we do in our world is support life rather than having an ethic that says it doesn't matter what we do in to support life as long as we're making money, which I think is probably the way businesses think right now. And I'm not saying 100% of businesses, because certainly there are businesses that are paying more attention. But just like this rampant disregard of life that is the norm is just amazing to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't want to sound cynical, but the reality of our world is that business becomes before prevention. Government, civil servants, our elected officials, industry, they know that chemical pollutants and electromagnetic pollution, chronic exposure, are making people sick, and that we could save billions of dollars in health costs if we did prevention. But because they don't have the smoking gun to prove beyond a reasonable doubt, they don't want to apply what's called the precautionary principle,
right,
which says that if you have reasonable doubt, if most experts say it's probably dangerous, then we should reduce our exposure. Like we did in Quebec, we banned the herbicides on the lawn.
Good for you.
We had a law that went to the Supreme Court and won, and others have followed suit, even though after that the government had to compensate, I think, Dow Chemical, and that's okay. The politician said, okay, we're willing to compensate for your loss of business, but we're going to protect public health and especially children's health.
Yay, that's what I like to hear. All right, we're going to talk more after the break with André Fauteuil from Quebec. He's the editor and publisher of 21st Century Housing Magazine. I'm Deborah Lindad, and you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah. And my guest today is André Fauteuil, editor and publisher of 21st Century Housing. André, I'm going to give your URL. It's a Canadian website, and so it's in French, of course. Maison Saine, is that right?
.ca. We have English articles for your listeners on it.
Yes, there are some English articles. I found them, but I'm encouraging André to have more English articles. And I suggested to him that he put one of those little translators on his website so that we can read more of the articles. I'm going to spell it for our English-speaking listeners. It's MAISONSAINE.ca. And the easiest way to get there is to go to my website, toxicfreetalkradio.com, and you'll see there you can just click right through on the link. So I have, here's my burning question. I want to make sure we get to this one. So I'm mostly concerned. I think if there's one thing that has stood out for me in everything that you've said today is really the fact that exposure to electromagnetic fields can make toxic chemicals more toxic because it makes your body more able to absorb the toxic chemicals. Mm-hmm. And so even if somebody had no concern about EMFs at all, but is concerned about toxic chemicals, that would be a reason to protect oneself. Take the steps to protect oneself from EMFs. Mm-hmm. And I know that I pay attention to EMFs. I had a bowel biology inspection where I actually had a whole team of bowel biologists in training come to my house. Yeah, and take measurements of all kinds of things. And they located the strongest EMFs, which in my house were the cordless phone, which immediately went in the trash. And I also had a battery backup that was sitting under my desk. I was literally sitting on top of the battery backup.
Oh, yeah.
And that was that was the next thing that went in the trash.
Yeah.
But otherwise, my levels of EMFs in the house were pretty good. I mean, even though I have a 27-inch screen on my computer, by the time I'm sitting 2 feet away from it, the EMFs are practically nothing. So I got rid of the biggest things, but what I feel, and I also have a a little thing, a Pong case for my cell phone, but I don't put it up against my head anymore. I only use the speakerphone. And I know some people have gotten rid of their landlines entirely, but I still have my landline. I still use it. And I only use my cell phone when I absolutely need to use my cell phone. I just carry it like for emergencies or people need to reach me. So I'm not on the cell phone all day long since I saw that photo that shows how far the cell phone, the radiation reaches into your brain. It like fills up your whole head. So I don't even put my cell phone near my head. But what I feel like I'm powerless to do anything about is the ambient level of all this wireless Wi-Fi, everything. It's like I can't even, in my own house, the Wi-Fi from neighboring houses are in my house. And all those, you know, the towers and that, you name it, we're just by being zapped every minute of every day, and I don't know what to do about that.
Right. Well, there are a lot of things we can do. I did a long hour interview with Professor Magda Havas, who's an ecotoxicologist, and she's been specializing in EMFs for 13 years now. She's got 10 papers that she actually published with her own money. It's very hard to get funding for these scientists. And she found like the cordless deck phones are linked to heart problems and also the blood sugar levels. I was mentioning all that. And she's also working with the multiple sclerosis people. So you can look on my website for this long article with 12 ways of reducing your exposure. And indeed, some people have no choice but to move because their neighbors, Wi-Fi or what have you, are going through the walls. Some of them will put aluminum to block the waves. It's true that they'll bounce back, but they'll bounce back and can concentrate. You'll shoot it back in your neighbor's face, or if you have aluminum in your house and you're using a wireless device, then it's going to bounce back all over and concentrate in the room. So you have to be conscious of that. One of the building biologists I speak to, who's an expert, EMF Relief is his website.com, I think. His name is Sal LaDuca. He recommends using concrete or cement products. Those are better at shielding, and they won't reflect the microwaves. So that's one way of doing it. But usually distance is really the first thing you want to do is keep a distance. The AM and FM radio antennas, it could be a couple of kilometers away, a couple of miles away. The most sensitive people can be affected. Even a kilometer, just under a mile, some people feel the cell phone antennas. And power lines, usually it's you want to keep at least 500 meters away. I'm talking metric here in Canada, but I think you get the proportions. Mm-hmm. In your house, usually 3 feet away, most appliances are okay, but not the wireless. The wireless, they could be 500 or 1,000 feet. You know, your cordless phone goes that far distance. And the smart meters, it'll be tens or hundreds or thousands of kilometers. They're all going to talk to each other through a grid, a mesh grid, and the utilities put routers also on buildings and telephone poles. So the higher density population, unfortunately, are getting more and more exposure. So more and more people are having to move to low density rural areas. And that goes against the grain of fighting climate change. You want to densify cities to, you know, have less car travel, burn less gas. And so it's getting very hard if you want to densify urban development. But on the other hand, you've got antennas on buildings making people sick.
You know, we really need to, sometimes I feel like we should just bulldoze the whole planet and start over and redesign intelligently. And I would like to see somebody build an area, a dense area out of healthy materials with no EMFs and organic gardens all around, and everybody can walk everywhere. Yeah. And it's like we have all this technology. But then you say, well, go find a spot on Earth where all these things come together and it doesn't exist. But
they're starting to build them. They're starting to build them. You know, I forget where it is. In Virginia, I think you have the most powerful, the cleanest place in the U.S. for EMF, because there's an astronomy center, National Astronomy Center, I think in West Virginia, and people are building there because there's no radio frequency microwave interference there, or else they couldn't monitor the outer space from that.
That's interesting.
Center. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I forget what it's called. Oh. But in Europe, they're building these white zones, they call them, where there are no EMFs. And it's true, you mentioned that to detoxify, some scientists have found that if you're constantly exposed to EMFs, for instance, with autistic children, they found that they could help them detoxify, get rid of their heavy metals first by removing them from electromagnetic radiation. So that's the hope, is that you want to reduce. Some people need to really be in perfect settings, but most people, the first thing you just want to do is to reduce or bring down to zero, at least overnight when you're sleeping, protect yourself from any exposure. And, of course, you need to have clean air, clean water, clean food to help you detox. And there are several different techniques. Also, what you want to do is to calm your brain. Your nervous system, after getting poisoned, you know, with pesticides or lightning bolts or very high emissions from power lines and antennas, your nervous system, if you become electrosensitive, it's constantly in a fight or flight reaction. So that's just that in itself is really noxious. And if you're also someone who's working too hard, who's not sleeping enough, who's too emotional, you're really not helping yourself. So you can't just blame the outside and blame others for the pollution. You have to do both things. You have to reduce your exposure, but you also have to strengthen your immune system and also your nervous system, be it with meditation. HeartMath, have you talked about the HeartMath Institute? It's a kind of biofeedback that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And you have it on your computer, and you see how your heart rhythm, you get it coordinated with your breathing, and that really helps your brain waves to calm down. And that's part of curing oneself from electrosensitivity, according to Dr. Fox in Halifax. You really need to stop being in that fight or flight, brain stress.
Well, this has been so interesting. Unfortunately, our time is up.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we've been talking with André Fauteuil, editor and publisher at 20th Century Housing. And go to toxicfreetalkradio.com. And next to his description of this show, you can go to his website, where he has some articles in French and English. And that's it for today for Toxic Free Talk Radio. Come back tomorrow to hear more about how you can thrive in a toxic world.